Welcome to SelfDiscoveryWisdom.com, formerly known as Self Discovery Media. On these podcasts, you're going to hear people who speak from the heart. They've taken the journey in life. Many things have happened to them, but they've changed it to happening for them. And in their strength, their courage, they've discovered their abilities and their wisdom, and they are now sharing it here with you. Do enjoy each show. We bring it to you with love and knowing that it's going to help you on your journey of life. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Ignite Your Heart and Soul, right here on SelfDiscoveryWisdom.com. I'm your host, Sarah Troy. My wonderful guest today is Vivian Cashmere. We're going to be talking about Zen, being Zen and Jiagong, and how to develop a powerful combination of sitting and moving and meditation with breathing techniques and Jiagong. What is Jiagong, you may ask? Well, we're going to talk all about that. She says that when she was in her 20s, she was obsessed with the meaning of life. Everything seemed dull to her, like a zombie land. And she came across a book that started it all. Quantum physics is like Zen, both question the reality we live in. And it was familiar with quantum, she was familiar with quantum physics, but knew a little bit about Zen. So she began reading about it, and exploration shifted into her consciousness towards the inner journey of self-discovery. Who is she? It became a journey of self-empowerment. Zen saved her life. Her spiritual journey took her to train into martial arts, Reiki, and she joined a Zen school. Her Buddhist name is Myongho. And she combined it with all her expertise to create her approach on, you're going to say the word, Miyoku. And the goal is to help people find inner peace through Zen mind-body alignment, encouraging self-transformation and self-realization. And it all begins by piercing through the ordinary to recognize the extraordinary in our lives, especially in these current times of transition on Earth. Boy, are we going through one. And she humbly aspires to contribute to the guiding humanity towards a better place of consciousness, evolution by reconnecting to our true inner nature. Oh, boy, are we talking. Are we talking my music? Yes, we are. Are we in a transition? Boy, are we in a transition, right?
And oh gosh, you're so good. You're so good.
The universe gave me a saying about 6 years ago. The universe was going to shake us up, to wake us up, for us to step up, change it up, and grow up. Grow up vibrationally, but grow up as a human race. And for many people, that shaking up is still happening, and they're uncomfortable with it, and they're retaliating against it. Many people have the shake up and have stood up, and they're changing it up, and they're on that journey into that self-discovery of their divine essence. But we've still got tumultuous waves going on, don't we?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, this is interesting because we know, but it's like we need, at least in the West, we know, but we need like science to prove it, you know, in that sense. And we know by now. We've heard it many times by spiritual masters like guru, because, but also by Zen masters or people who have reached enlightenment and who try to help with different training or workshops. We heard it, which is not everybody has the same level of consciousness.
Yeah.
You can't force someone to evolve if the person is not ready. So true love, in the sense of spiritual love, is to see and love the person, even though you know, it's like a parent. I don't have children, but I can understand. You see the child doing something wrong, it's going to hurt him or her. But you have, if it's not life-threatening, you have to let the child experience it. So when you are on a path of consciousness and you see people doing things that's so low vibration, but they don't want to change, what can you do? You know what I mean? So in that sense, yeah, we all have that possibility to awaken. We all have it.
Yes.
But the ego or the soul purpose, you know, the reason why you incarnated, you have your own story.
Yeah.
So we can't force people, you know, absolutely not. But I believe
inspiration will beget invitation. And when they're inspired by someone's story, they're inspired by someone's action, they're inspired where it touches their heart. You know, mm-hmm. that's that heart connection. Mm-hmm. When the heart gets touched by it, that's the invitation. You know, I felt
Yeah, it's
something
true.
there. I want to feel like this more often. What do I need to do? But if we can't ignite that heart, then the consciousness can't get through. The heart has to be engaged.
Yeah. I don't know if, well, if at least in my time, I am in my 60s now, but in my time, when I was a child, I remember my parents saying, you know, this kind of phrase that the heart, we say in French, the heart has its own reason that the reason doesn't. Okay, something like that in English. You may have something like that too. But you, guess what? Science proved lately that there is in the heart, they are, I should say, in the heart, 40,000 neurons.
Yeah.
So yes, the heart has its own
Consciousness.
logical way.
Yes.
Yes.
You
know, in that sense. So no, yeah, absolutely. But you know, in a way, it's fascinating to see that there is an awakening. You mentioned that at the beginning. There is an awakening on the planet. And when we talk or speak about the new consciousness in the West, it's nothing new, seriously. It's nothing new. But what is new is because now it's becoming a new standard.
Yeah.
You
yes.
know?
Becoming
now
the
it's easy.
norm. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Mm. Now it's easy to talk to people and say, yes, my I don't know, my stress is affecting my body, and because it's energy, we talk about energy in such a fluid way now.
Yes.
But 20 years ago, oh, people would say, oh, you are from a new age, California, new age thing, you know? But nowadays, it becomes so natural.
Yes.
So yes, people slowly, society is awakening, and we have to be, to have compassion in that sense. I mean, I have to remind myself, because sometimes I'm very impatient, but I have to remind myself, I was like that before. You know, it's like when you ask a Zen master, what is the difference between you and me? Like, this is a koan, you know, there's a disciple who has a Zen master. What's the difference between you and me? And the Zen master would say, there's no difference, except that I am awakened before you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
So
yes.
we all have it. We all
yes.
have it. But as you say, it's what happens in your life that makes you do the click and makes you do it.
The free will to go there. You know, I call it the kind of the sunny side of the street. I've been on the other side of the street with the darkness. And I think, you know, one of the worst things is beyond pain and fear, which you're still feeling, right? You're still feeling. The worst thing is apathy, when you simply don't care anymore. And I think in many, many ways, you know, the world has become apathetic, where they just don't know how to feel, they're numb. And so they just don't care. And that's a very dangerous place to be, because if you're still angry or fearful, you're in an emotion where we can turn that to love, right? It's just shifting your perspective, shifting your consciousness to see things differently. But I think that, you know, I've got a book out right now, an anthology book, which went to international Amazon bestseller last week, called Our Forgotten
Wonderful.
Children. Very proud of this book. 15 of us authors in there. And my chapter was around what's happened to our children, that they can go and get a gun and just shoot people dead without feeling anything, that they can gang up on a perfect stranger just walking down the street and stab them to death and feel nothing. And it's like how we have let our children down. And this is, I think, with the state that some people are in right now. They're in that limbo. They're not on the side of angry, I want to turn the clock back, I want things as they used to be 100 years ago. They're not enlightened yet spirits, but they're in that no man's land where they feel nothing and nothing seems to be connecting with them. And we can feel helpless at times, but I think that if we could shed our loving energy on them, just all of us shed our loving energy on them, somehow it will penetrate through and become that spark of light for them.
Absolutely. But you know, there is this thing about healing. We all know that in a holistic approach, when you go through detox, for example, you may feel bad, may not feel comfortable because the toxins are coming out. So it's the same thing on the planet now. And there is darkness. I don't like to use this word, but let's say for the sake of the conversation, the darkness, because we all have one. We all have some dark clouds, you know, in our. So with the energies now on the planet, and in all crises politically, oh, they say, by the way, this is the first, there are cycles on the planet.
Yes.
And nowadays, it's like all the levels are kind of coming at the same time, like the lunar eclipse, or, you know, meaning the solar eclipse, I should say. It's like politically, socially, intellectually, all those aspects of society are going through the same crisis.
Yes.
So when all of those forces concur at the same time, mm-hmm. it creates a real chaos. So that's
yes.
exactly what we are experiencing. So darkness is coming up, and we may say stronger than before. No, it's just that before it was under the carpet.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
we,
now
we didn't
the
see
dust,
it before. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I mean, you know, when you shed light on your own consciousness, light is also shed on where consciousness isn't, right?
Exactly.
And so, you know, the light is being switched on, and some people can see clearly and they know what to do. Some people are still in confusion, and some people don't want that light, right? Don't see my darkness, you know, because ultimately, we are all responsible for our own lives, not necessarily what happens to you, but what you do with what happens to you. And we can go down the bitter road, the hateful road, the revengeful road, the blame everybody else, but three fingers coming back at you going, what about your responsibility? What are you going to do about it? Where's your participation?
Exactly.
Right? And we ultimately all have to be responsible for our own spiritual growth, our own conscious growth. And other people are here to help us along the way, but it is our journey to take, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. There's a Zen master who said, I don't remember the name of the Zen master, but he said, awakening is your responsibility towards your true self.
Mm-hmm.
And if we all take that advice, it's like we hold, but I'm saying that honestly, in the West, there are still people who suffer just because they don't have enough food, hunger, you know, we have cases of that too. But when you are in a situation like what's happening now on the planet with wars and everything, I mean, you are on a survival mode. People
yes.
in Gaza are on a survival mode.
Yeah.
So how do you handle that? Mm-hmm. You know, so in that sense, it's not so much, and actually I kept for the end of our talk a quote, a Zen quote I want to read. But the thing is, when you are faced with good or bad, that's what I love about Zen. And it's not just Zen, it's Buddhism. Mm-hmm. And it's like, don't look at events like good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of the duality, of the
yes.
dualistic mind.
Yes.
You know, it's an energy or it's something happening. What is important is how you react to it, how you respond to it.
Yeah.
So that's difficult, and that's a journey of a Zen practitioner like me, or all of those who decided to join, you know, the journey to our true self, is to watch yourself, you know, in that sense, every day, how do you respond to simple things even?
Yeah, I know.
The beauty of it is that it's not just Zen, but for me, it's a choice. I did Zen. Any spiritual practice, if you do it seriously, you realize that it's changing your ordinary life.
Mm-hmm.
And when we say ordinary, it has become a common, how do you say, common expression. Ordinary means something that's not standing out in the common
right. normal
language.
Life, which what is normal,
yeah.
right?
But
it doesn't mean it's
yeah.
functional.
Exactly. But ordinary, the root of the word, mm. The etymology, ordinary means the order of things
mm-hmm.
in nature.
Mm-hmm. Linear.
The sunrise, yeah. Mm. The sun rises, it's noon, and the sun sets. That's the ordinary. So, but when you, we say in Zen, when you pierce the ordinary, if you look at the bird, listen to the bird, or walk in a forest, if you are really there at the moment and you pierce in that sense, in a good sense, you know, you go mm-hmm. through that vibration of, or you become, or your consciousness expand and it becomes extraordinary.
Yes.
You can be amazed with the dragonfly skimming the water. You know, it becomes like, it happened to all of us, a moment of awe, A-W-E, awe, you say awe, awe. I don't know in English how you pronounce it. You know, like
awe.
A moment
awe.
Of
awe. Yeah.
Awe, a moment of awe. You're like marvelous.
Mm-hmm.
How many people are, you know, amazed by a great Hawaiian sunset? You know what I mean?
Yes.
Can you carry that fascination in your everyday life? Because it is there. You know what I mean? So in that sense, learning, in that sense, just learning how to keep that openness of extraordinary that nature, the planet has to offer, and to carry it in our everyday life. It's a challenge, but this is how you pierce the ordinary.
Exactly. You know? We're not meant to have those extraordinary moments all the time. They're the epiphany. They are the moments that we work towards. They're the moments that become special, and we put them in our memory. We put them in our heart, and they become part of the fuel to take us forward. But if they were extraordinary all the time, we would take them for granted. It's like perfection, right? We have perfect moments in time, perfect moments in our lives that feel wonderful, those extraordinary moments. But it doesn't mean we have to be perfect. But what is perfect, right? Perfect is somebody's idea of what they want from you, right? Your perfect life is when you know that you're living truly and honestly by your own essence, and that you are being true to yourself and true to your divine and true to your meaning of life. And that is your living perfectly, but that doesn't mean you are perfect or that you do everything perfect, but you will have special perfect moments.
Yeah, but you know, if you carry that attitude of openness, like watching a sunset and it's marvelous, when you deal with people, and it happens to everyone, even to me, when you deal with people and you feel your ego is coming out, you know, you're angry or you don't like the way the person said thing, whatever. If you have or open your mind the same way you had in front of the sunset, meaning you're pierced, you pierce the duality, and you want to open your mind for the Buddha nature in the person. You have the Buddha nature. Your Buddha nature wants to communicate with the Buddha nature of the person.
Yeah.
Then you see the extraordinary.
Yes.
You see what I mean?
So see beyond the surface, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, look deeper into a person.
Exactly. And then you see, do you create the extraordinary in your everyday life?
Yes, exactly.
No,
exactly.
In that sense. Then you develop compassion, because you know what happened? When you vibrate on that level, you see the sadness in the person. That's why the person is so off. Mm-hmm. And you have compassion, you know?
Yeah.
So your vibration then affects the person vibration. Mm-hmm.
The ripple effect.
It's all exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I know it's hard. I'm not saying it's easy to do, because you get caught in that dynamic, dysfunctional dynamic, you know, particularly in a family dinner. There's always someone who gets on your nerve, you know. But the thing is to remind yourself, I have the Buddha nature. It's my responsibility to reach my true self and become an example. So if you really try, we have a little question we ask ourselves during the day once in a while. It's, what is it? Or what am I? Who am I? You know? So it forces you. You don't have an answer, because the reality is not binary. But it forces you, to take a step back.
Mm-hmm.
And
then
you realize, oh yeah, that's my ego who is angry. It's not my true self. My true self is perfect. Our true self. It's perfect. It's constant joy, constant clarity. It's a constant wisdom. It's perfect. The true self is perfect. So when you remind yourself, who is impatient? Like it happened to me sometimes. Viviane, wait a minute. Breathe. Who is impatient right now in the situation? It's not my true self. It's the little Viviane, this incarnation that is impatient, you know? It doesn't mean that you are not impatient anymore, but it means that you don't act with that emotion.
You pay attention to the emotion, right?
Exactly.
You don't, you know, I say that you spend an emotion. The emotion's there for a reason. Why are you impatient? Why are you angry? You know, assess why, because if you don't, it's going to grow. But don't become emotional about the emotion, right? And that's what we're inclined to do as human beings. We take a pimple and make it a volcanic eruption. Right? You know,
and metaphor. It's
sensationalism, you know, everything becomes a drama. And a lot of that is the outside in. You know, the world seems to work on dysfunction, Why do people watch the reality shows where everybody's yelling at each other and everybody's cruel to each other? And, you know, and it's like, what are you getting out of this? It's so disturbing to see people being so nasty to one another. So what
So
is it
true.
feeding inside of you? Is there an expression in you that is unhappy that you really would love to be able to say something to someone and you can't? Right. And it's like, okay, maybe you're not meant to say it, but perhaps you could write it down. You could get it off your chest, right? You could read it and say, okay, I see it. I send it love. I set fire to it and I let it go.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's interesting. I was talking to a friend lately about my practice, Zen practice. And I was saying, you know, many people, and it may start even at a younger age than my experience in my 20s. You know, I was always interested in spirituality, but it exploded in my 20s by an existential crisis. But I'm like, everybody, the human brain at some point asks this question, what is the meaning of life?
Yes.
You know, so it's okay if people just put it under the carpet and move on, because you don't have an answer. If you give an answer, it's your binary mind that will give an answer, and then you can ask another question from the answer, and the chain of, you know, it's endless. But the thing is, when you ask this question, or when someone asks this question to you in a very, for example, in a very ordinary conversation, you know, when you have a friend you suspect is a bit sad or depressed, pay attention. Because if you hear that question, that means there's something going on.
Yeah.
You know? And I have a story, it's a very sad story. I had tears when I heard it on the news. A girl here in Montreal, she was in 16, 17, not more. She was followed by a psychiatrist and she finally committed suicide. And the parents were very, of course, you know, destroyed. And the mother went on the news because she was saying that the system failed her daughter. And she explained that she read the journal of her daughter. And that's the point that I want to emphasize, is the girl in her journal was saying almost word for word, sorry, what I experienced in my 20s. She was saying, I feel like a zombie. I don't see the point of life. People have no depth. What am I doing on this planet? This is not the sign of someone who is schizophrenic. This is a sign of someone who is in an existential crisis.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. So, they're at that crossroads. They need someone to show them a path forward, or the tools and skills and to go path forward. Yes.
Exactly.
They were treating the human side of her, not the spirit side of her.
Exactly. It broke my heart. And I'm like, look at that, her life gone. Because she did not need a psychiatrist. She needed a spiritual guide. She needed someone who would, you know? And I'm like, we are all have different ways to show our existential crisis. Some people ask directly the question, what the fuck is the meaning of life? What's my goal? You know? And some people have a more sinuous way, you know, they can't express it, so that they verbally, I mean, but they express it physically. They are angry. They are, you know, listen, we should develop an ear for that, or develop a sight for that.
Right.
Because as you said at the beginning, this transition we are here, this chaos, it is about that. That's why we say the new consciousness, because in that new consciousness phase, it's all about reconnecting with our true self.
I agree. I grew up as a spiritual child. So for me, it was, I'm in a different dimension. I'm in a different world. I was a very sickly child, so spent a lot of time on my own in my bedroom. And I would just go astral traveling. So for me to see other entities and see people that are passed over, to see all of that, you know, was normal. And basically kind of went with me up until my 20s. And then I came to Canada and I met my ex-husband. And then my life turned a different route. And it kind of became what I call, he fell in love with my spirit, but then tried to control it, right? Tried to contain it. And in doing so, I lost it. And for a good 8 years, I disappeared from my spiritual life. I was still in tune for clients and other people, but not for myself. I didn't exist in my own life. I was just robotically human. And it took me, I was in this darkness. I could see the light out there. And it was like, I don't want to go out there. It's too painful. I don't want to go out there. Right. And I knew what I would be going out to. And I was developing that apathy of not feeling anything until finally I met somebody who used a pendulum who managed to remove a whole load of past lifetimes on me, thus freeing me to make a discovery of who is Sarah now. I'm not the spiritual child I was, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not the human wife and mother I was then. I am a divine being who's trying to connect with her purpose. But my purpose, exactly. I'm 69. So for me to do what I was doing, a heart and soul awakening, was woo-woo and kind of, you know, voodoo to many people, right? And where now it's becoming more mainstream. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And so finally we can step into our meaningful purpose of what we're here to do. But when I came out eventually into the light, it was extremely blinding. And I felt shadows chasing me until I looked at the shadows as being the contouring of the light. And now I can go back into that darkness happily because I am the light in the dark. Exactly. And that is where I see the clarity. And I think it's all a question of where we're at that time. I was in the darkness before. Why couldn't I see clarity? I was in the wrong frame of mind in order to see what the universe was trying to say to me. And I had to kind of come back out into the light to feel secure to go back in. And that is the journey of life. That's the self-discovery of life. My purpose has always been to ignite heart and soul. That has always been my journey, to lift people into their divine spirit all these lifetimes, right? But wow. I kind of got lost in the human expectation of what I should be and not the divine essence I am. And I think for that young girl, and I know for you in your 20s, we all come to that crossroads. And it's like, what? Exactly. Why am I here? What's the meaning of life? What am I here to contribute? Right? And it's exactly. That question alone, thank goodness you're asking it. But now be still and calm enough to start seeing the signs. Because the signs are going to lead you down the road one step at a time, one clue at a time. An obscure sign that is going to be there. When you pay attention to your surroundings, you realize it's leading you down the right path and slowly integrating you into your soul journey, because you can't just suddenly jump into it. It's a bit too much of a human shock, but take that journey again, right? And pay attention to the signs of life and go with what it feels right, heart and soul. When the heart and soul says yes, you do it. If it says no, you don't. Don't question why.
No, exactly. You know, it's funny. There's someone who asked me last time. I gave for the first time a Dharma talk in a Zen school. And someone asked, how do you know you are in your core? Because we were talking about grounding and things like that. And that's a legitimate question, you know? It's like when someone would ask... if you say to someone, everything is going well in my life, I'm so happy. Nobody question your happiness. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But if you say, I'm sad, nothing works, and people are going to say, you have to come out of this darkness. Mm-hmm. But nobody ask about who is joyful, who is, you see what I mean? We are still caught in a duality in that sense. But from a Zen perspective, it's like, even when I am joyful, I have to make sure who is happy. Because if I am happy because I have the car I've always wanted, it's okay to be happy for what you get in this life, in this dimension, of course. But don't attach to it. Right. That makes you realize, enjoy your human life, but don't attach to this, because that's where you lose yourself.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
And that brings up for me the duality. That we all talk about. Nothing is wrong with it's so funny. We could talk for hours, but the thing is, I'm so sorry. People confuse things, and that's what I like about Zen. It helps you see clearly the differences. Okay, like polarity. It's in nature. It's in the universe. Mm-hmm. If you take a magnet, you have the plus and the sign mm-hmm. and the minus. Okay, plus and minus.
Yin and yang, so, everywhere you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's the normal polarity right. in nature. But now there's the level of duality that we talk about. Duality is to say plus is better than minus. Now you put a judgment yes. on the polarity. Polarity has no judgment. Right. We need plus and negative to make a movement. Otherwise, exactly. there would be no movement.
Okay? Yes. Harmony. So balanced harmony.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So now if you put the dualistic mind is to say, oh, plus is better than the negatives. It's a, you know, or the famous sentence from Shakespeare, to be or not to be. Why does it have to be to be?
One or the other.
Or the other.
Yeah.
Can't it be both or none? You know? So there is an example that we give. It's like you take a magnet, let's say a bar, a straight, but you make it as a horseshoe. Mm-hmm. So you have the plus and the negative attracting stability now.
Yes.
And not the opposite.
Exactly. So the merging and the balance of the two, right?
Exactly. So there's always a third way or a fourth way to look at things.
Yes.
Duality is a human way of looking at nature, but the universe is not dual.
Right. You know?
And then I
completely agree with you. And the yin and yang, the balance, and that's the side of us, isn't it? The spiritual essence of who we are, that divine presence in the human physical. And when we put the two together, then we really realize how empowering we are. Yeah. All right. And that is mm-hmm. the divine essence doesn't have the tangible of the touch, the taste, the feel like the human body does. So you take that divine essence with the human touch and feel, it accentuates it to such a way that it becomes quite illuminating, becomes something that's even more extraordinary, because it's not just the human touching or the spiritual feeling in this way, it's the two together, and wow, pow, right? Yeah. Now you've got an experience and you have an understanding. If we just live on the human side and that car becomes the only thing that makes us happy, and then we're not connecting to our spiritual side. If we're just in the spiritual side, which I lived in for a long time, didn't like to live on the human side. Humans were not nice to each other. I didn't like to live over there. I resisted for a long time, but resistance is futile, because at some point I had to come together. And then when I came together, the peace was formed, right? But, you know, for a long time, it was this, trying to chase each other.
Yeah, you know, and there is what we say in Zen, there is a third level, which is what we call commonly the binary mind, mm-hmm. which is... The plus is ideology. You know, all cultures, different yes. cultures have different way of judging. So the plus become, for example, male. Everything about men is better than the negative, which is, for example, women. So in society, we attach judgment, values, all of that to that duality, you know? So when you do a spiritual practice, the beauty of it is that it helps you cut through it.
Yeah.
You know, and reach the essence. So what I mean is that the polarity will always be there in this dimension, the three-dimensional
yes.
reality. You know, so don't fight it.
No,
it doesn't mean that it's negative. It's like the ego. Don't fight the ego.
Right.
We need an ego to be human. Otherwise, we are machine. We AI. You know,
you know, in some cases, AI is gaining an intelligence. Can it feel like us? No. But in other ways, yeah. it's smarter. And it's like, how do we integrate it? Because I think in some ways, the reason why AI is here is that in our human intellect, we are not expanding at the rate that we should be. And like merging with AI is a way of helping our intellectual mind grow bigger to match our spiritual consciousness.
I don't know. I hope it's the direction it's going to go. But
it all depends on whose hands it's in. And this goes back to the human free will. I can use it evilly or I can use it heavenly, right? And it really is you get behind the wheel of that car. Are you going to drive too fast and hit something and kill someone? Are you going to drive it responsibly and get from A to B? Everything is our choice, right? A knife and fork can cut your food or it can stab someone. It's our choice. And that's where the consciousness comes in. If you're on that higher consciousness of love, that consciousness of consideration, compassion, caring, all of that, you're in such a higher frequency, you can't knowingly harm anyone else. To do so is to harm yourself.
Yeah, you know, it's Jude Kurivan, you know her. She's part of this wonderful team of the people who launched, let's say, with the year 2000. It started a bit before, but with the year 2000, it started the new consciousness that we talk about. So it's been going on for a long time,
yes,
but in a smaller group.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But Jude Kurivan, Nassim Haramein, anyway, all those big guys, they all say the same thing. The biggest disease on earth, it's the belief of separateness. Isn't it nice? Yeah.
The belief of, sorry, I didn't catch that.
Separateness, like we are individual, you know, the opposite of oneness.
Right.
You know, in that sense. And because this is true, the moment you realize you can't be 100% in oneness, you know, unless you live in a Buddhist temple on the top of a mountain. But what I mean is that to know deeply inside that we are all connected in a field of consciousness, you know?
Yes.
So when you have that feeling, or even if you can't conceptualize or explain it, but you feel it.
You're a part of the whole.
Yeah. How can you hurt someone, you know?
Yes.
So
the ripple effect will come back to hurt you.
Yeah.
Right? It is like hurting yourself. Right? Now, and you know, you can get angry at things going out there. You can look at things and say, I do not condone that behavior because it is harmful to other people. You can stand up for people like that, but not pitchfork to pitchfork. Mm. Compassion and love to the pitchfork. Right? Mm. Sometimes you can't reason. Not when they're in such a state of hate and fear and self-loathing, which many of that behavior comes from, but with compassion and love constantly shed down on them. If there is a crack in there, it will find its way in, and it's their journey then to take, right? But as much as the human side of us wants to punish people for their behavior, we've actually got to look at why are they behaving that way. And it's because they're lost souls. They're not connected. And their human reactions are things that they're fearful or painful about, and they haven't taken that journey yet of healing, of self-discovery to come out of the pain, to discover their meaningful purpose and their reason for being here. And maybe because they haven't been shown, or maybe because they prefer living in the hate and the fear. Some people are junkies on that. They're piranhas. Yeah. They live on it. And that's what keeps them going. But for me, that amount of energy that you need to fuel that hate, pain, and vengefulness and ego and narcissism takes up so much more of your battery than living in the world of peace and love, which is just a constant, beautiful wave of beautiful breath.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you see, with this transitional phase we're in, the binary opposition, the dualistic things mindset is also evolving. Mm-hmm. So it's funny to see how people go to extremes sometimes, because it's a reaction. It's like people are on a survival mode. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember when it was 2 years ago, right after the COVID, people were upset and they wanted to take down some statue that represented.
Yes.
I'm like, wow, we want to erase history.
History? No, we don't. We need to learn from history. Learn from it.
Exactly.
Don't erase it, and then we have no understanding of what happened when. We've got to understand why did it happen, and to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Exactly. So instead of destroying the past, why don't you put an extra, I don't know, scripture, you know, something written on the statue and say, but blah, 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 blah. Don't, you know, but it's interesting in the sense of how the dualistic mind is kind of coming to the surface even stronger.
Yeah.
You know, it's part of healing. And I love, you know, in Buddhism, before I got my name, the Buddhist name, Myongho, you have to take vows. And I remember the big master, well, I say big, but there's no hierarchy, obviously, but said to us, rules are to be applied with discernment. They are not written in stone. So use your wisdom to know when to apply them and when to not apply them. Okay. And the big example is, I don't know if you know the story of the two monks who crossed the river, and there is an old lady with bags with her, and one of the monk wants to help her, so he carries her across the river and drops her, and the two monks continue their path to the temple. And after 20 minutes, the other monk could not hold it anymore, and he says to his friend, "You know, we're not supposed to touch women. How could you have done this?" And blah, 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 blah. So the guy turns to his friend and he said, "I dropped her a long time ago. You are still carrying her." You see?
Yes, yes.
You're not supposed to touch women, but this is a matter of helping humanity. You're not going to do it?
Exactly. Touch women is more in the sexual way, not in a literal way. Are you going to not pick somebody up that falls because they happen to be female, right?
Exactly.
How does that work with your humanitarian philosophy as a monk? So this is the difference between taking something literally or using your wisdom to understand what it is you need to do. And this is why I say, we need to feel our wisdom. It needs to resonate in our heart truth, go into our spirit action for our mind to have the clarity it needs when it needs it, right? That knowledge, that database is there, is accumulation of experience and knowledge that you've acquired. We don't always know how to use it. Let the wisdom guide you on what knowledge is relevant when.
Exactly. You know, so if people can let go of dualistic things,
yeah.
But you said that, so how come you're doing it now like that?
Yeah.
Oh, the context defined my gesture.
Yes.
The context will define my response, you know.
What will you think about how many humans are still carrying stuff? I mean, we see it. I've done shows on it over and over again of people, generations carrying resentments for something that happened. God knows how long ago. And it's passed on from one family to the other. And they don't even know what they're meant to be mad about anymore. You know, and it's like, how dysfunctional, how limiting to your human and spiritual growth that you have lived in this state of being. Whom does it serve?
Exactly. Yeah. And the other thing about the polarity, dualistic way of doing things is I like when they say, love is not the opposite of hate. Mm-mm. Love is the opposite of fear.
Yes.
And that cuts the stupid, you know, binary things that we have set up, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, I call them, they're called teeter totters someplace. In England, we call them seesaws, you know, the things that go up and down in the playground. And I say, you know, in the playground, it isn't about somebody being up and someone being down. It's about how do you keep the momentum and the flow going? Right, up, down, no extremes. And that's really the fluidity of life. Nothing is meant to be rigid.
Exactly.
The blood and the oxygen and the water in our body is constantly in flow. You look at our DNA and the pattern of it. You look at frequency and the pattern of it. Everything has a pattern. And we're meant to be in flow with that pattern, not a straight linear blinkered type approach, because that is blocking any of our creativity or any of our discovery.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's the same debate with yin and yang. I do qigong, I do, you know, Zen martial art, and it's the same thing. Sometimes I have to explain to people, in martial art or in spirituality, can we not say men and women as a thing? Because it's going to be too ideologically loaded, you know? Can we just say yin and yang? And even that, yin and yang, are just relative. It's like if I say to you more or less.
Right.
More.
Night and day.
If I say to you, do you want more, Sarah? You're going to say more of what? You know?
Right. Exactly.
If I said less, you're going to say less of what?
Yes.
So it's relative. Same thing with yin and yang. And the best example is water. Water can be in ice shape, water in liquid and vapor. If it's in a form of ice, we say water in that state is yin. If water is liquid, we say it's yang in comparison to ice. But then the liquid becomes yin in comparison to vapor. That is yang. You see what I mean? The context define the nature of your existence. Are you yin or yang in that context? But you can't be yin in every situation. As you said, rigidity does not, it doesn't, things don't work that way. Yeah. It's relative. It depends on the context.
And that's the thing, we need to pay attention to the context of what's going on in our moment, right? And because, oh, I would never do that, or I don't do that. Well, you don't know until you're in that situation of what you will or will not do. And the biggest thing you need to do in any situation is pause for a moment. Yeah. Pause before you react, because our tendency is to react with the pitchfork instead of taking a deep breath and go assess what has been said or what has been done in this moment and what truly is going on, right? But we are reactionary creatures.
No, exact. So that's why it's important in any situation to put things in perspective. Okay, what is it? What's going on exactly right now? Okay, in my life or in a discussion with someone when things are kind of getting sour. Okay, what's going on? And just by doing that, I'm sure you have experienced it, particularly you with your sensitivity, is like you shift the vibration right away. You know, how many gurus, I don't know if you have met a guru in person. I mean, they themselves don't like being called guru.
No.
So let's say spiritual master.
Yeah.
You know, when you walk in a room or when you are in the room waiting for the master to come and deliver a speech, you feel the vibration is different, you know? So in that sense, if you yourself, and that's why it's important to start with yourself, there will be no peace out there if you don't start, if none of us starts really by developing inner peace,
right?
You know, in that sense.
You are the peace you seek, you are the love you seek.
Right? No, exactly.
And if you are attracting angst, if you are attracting people that become attacking towards you, one has to question yourself and go, you know, what is happening in my sphere right now that I'm not in a state of love that they can come and attack? So it's, you have to look at where you're at, and are you out of balance? Are you out of sync? Are you in some form of turmoil you're not paying attention to? How do you turn your frequency back up? So when we get those reactions, it's not necessarily they're dumping on you because of you. They could be dumping on you because of themselves, but you've become the person they dump on you because you seem to be open and receptive to it. And so if that's the case, it's like, how do you change your frequency that you don't become receptive to it? So it's, you know, don't take it personally, but at the same time, personally look at, why was I even open to this?
Exactly. Yeah. And remind, and we should all remind ourselves that whatever improvement we do, as you said earlier, ripples effect, we help the environment, the community, because we change vibration. This is so important.
Yes.
You know, so you can change the vibration of, I don't know, the sour vibration in a meeting when you walk in, if you are yourself really vibrating at a great level. You change, you know.
I'm going to, a lot of people talk about, I don't believe in borders, but boundaries. And, you know, have your vibration, but to a certain boundary where people don't suck then the vibration out of you, or a vibration that invites people to rise up and meet you. What do you feel about that? Because if you can go in with all your beautiful divine energy, and then you do have the piranhas there, that can kind of suck it out. Do you believe in those boundaries? Or do you believe that the energy puts those boundaries in place anyway?
Well, I guess it depends how you define boundaries. Because, you know, like I'm thinking of a class, a pre-recorded programs I did for a company. And it's about maintaining the vibration at your home. Because how to meditate is easy. You know, you follow the guidelines and you sit, you adjust your back, blah, 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 you know. But keeping it, keeping the practice alive, it's what is more challenging. People give up after 3 days and we forget or we are distracted. So how do you keep it? It's, by, for example, by keeping at home or wherever you live, house, apartment, keeping the vibration that will help you keep meditating or the practice alive, you know, can be frequencies or whatever. I don't want to explain too much. It's not the point. But the thing is, this is it. Keep yourself with things, can be incense or can be a stone, can be anything that will remind you that you are not that.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So yes, I do believe. I do believe because I've been exposed to big spiritual masters from the distance. Oh my gosh, you feel the love. You feel I don't know, this envelope of energy, so peaceful, you know?
Embrace.
And, yeah, and the opposite is true. You can feel, you can walk in the street and see at the corner of the street someone who is has a negative energy, you know? So, and as you said earlier, it's, let's say, I'm going to phrase it that way, it's up to you to let your field be affected or to reinforce that light in you. You know, so each moment, it's about reinforcing your light. Sometimes you forget because that thing coming at you is so strong that you you become in a survival mode, flight or fight mode. But to reach a point where you can, wherever you go, remind yourself, I am not that. Mm-hmm. I am not an emotion. I am not going to react that way. You know, even if the surrounding is not right, I mean, Dalai Lama would say, forgive, forgive everybody, but don't stay with them.
Exactly. Forgive, so you don't have to condone and you don't have to stick around, but the forgiveness is for you, right?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So in the same way, you know, it's a, I do believe that sometimes if you're not strong enough, you can get stuck in, of course, you know,
And if that vulnerability is happening, maybe you are not nurturing yourself in the way you should. And maybe this is saying to you, you need to kind of retreat and nurture yourself to build yourself back up again, because sometimes we're so busy giving, we, you know, we forget to recharge. And, you know, I do believe that love is the generator that keeps on recharging. But sometimes, you know, the other external energies can get depleted and you need to kind of make sure that they, you keep them up by doing what you need to do to regenerate yourself.
Yeah, and that's why there's there are tools like mantra, for example. Mm-hmm. When you are in a context, you are in a train or in a plane, you can't walk out. You are flying above the ocean. Well, recite a mantra. Recite something that brings your vibration higher, you know?
But that's we home, right? Yeah. Well, you know,
whatever suits you.
Tapping or anything, whatever it is, right? There's modalities. Mm-hmm. Do you know Michel Pascal?
The name rings a bell.
He is also, I don't know if he was a monk. I think so. But anyway, the beautiful thing what he talks about, I've interviewed him a few times, and I think you two, he's also French. I think you two would get on very, very well, both in the same spirit. But he talks about taking people to Times Square and to meditate in Times Square, to be the mountain in Times Square. And you know, meditation is all very well and it's very peaceful, but as you said, how do you maintain that peace? How can you be the peace amongst the chaos? And that's the challenge, isn't it? Is to be able to be that peace with whatever is going on around you and not being affected by that whirlwind. And that's a lot of, you know, the Western with the yoga and this and that, it's wonderful while you're in it. How do you sustain it when you're out in the chaos?
It's exactly. So that's why for me, it's funny when I hear people say, oh, this is so zen, this landscape. Oh, this this chalet in the, at the lake is so zen. Yeah, but zen is not outside. It's inside.
Yes,
yes. So develop that zen mindset. Not don't rely on outside to give it to you. You have to develop it. So if I see something horrible, shit, dog shit on the street, it's not true, I'm just giving a stupid example, I will still be zen. I will not let that affect my zenitude.
Pick it up, throw it away.
Yeah, but you know, this is it. Yeah, that's why once you understand that it's not outside, it's
No.
inside, you have to
No.
develop it, that
How do
sense
you
of
become the
joy.
peace? How do you
Yeah.
become the
The
calm?
joy, the
Yes.
calm, the
Yes.
peacefulness, the wisdom, the compassion, name it.
Yeah.
It's from inside. You have
Yes.
it. You have it.
Yes.
Just
Let's
go.
just talk a little bit about the two words and really break them down to what they mean, because we've talked about Qigong, which is like Tai Chi, just slightly slower, slightly different style of it, and Zen. Kind of break it down into exactly in layman's terms what they actually mean, because people hear
Okay.
these words, but they don't always comprehend exactly what it means.
Okay. Well, Qigong, we can start with that. Qigong is the mother of all the inner art. Inner meaning the qi art of doing things. So you have three branches of Qigong. You have the medical Qigong, you have the martial art Qigong, and you have the spiritual Qigong. So those three branches have similar movement, breathing technique, blah blah blah, and because they are different branches, they have a specific movement for each category on top of the common denominator. Okay, so Tai Chi comes from the martial art Qigong in that sense. Okay, and from Tai Chi, then Tai Chi is so spread in China, for example, you have different style of Tai Chi.
Yes.
You know, we're not going to go there, but just to say that Qigong is actually the mother of all the internal martial art that you can hear of. So Qigong, it's about balancing the qi in you with the qi outside, because the qi is in everything. It's in the wind. You know, when the Chinese doctor take your pulse
Yes.
and say your liver has a very weak qi, you know.
Right.
So
It
the
looks at
qi
your
is,
tongue, yeah, and they know
yeah,
can tell what's
exactly.
wrong, yeah.
So we say that the qi is in the universe. It's the pure energy. It's also in nature, in the wind, the trees, etc., and in the human body. But in the human body, it takes the form of chakra, or actually they say more tandian, the qi center, the tandian, you know,
The
in that
core.
sense. Yeah. So for them, for the Chinese, for the Qigong, for example, or Tai Chi, there are three centers of energy. The lower tandian, below the belly button, right below the heart
Yep.
that covers here, and the third eye. The Indian system of yoga and blah blah blah, they count seven chakra.
Right.
But the principle is the same. They are energy centers in the
Yes.
body. So in that sense, for Qigong, martial art that I use, it's like Qigong, spiritual Qigong. It's about alignment of your own qi with nature and the universe. So the movements you do are slow. Why? It's because it's to get your body a level of the feeling of the now. You know? Each
Being
movement
deliberate.
is done slowly with the consciousness of it, with the breath. But I'm telling you, I've seen a sparring, Tai Chi sparring is very fast. Okay, it's not slow motion.
Right.
No, but the point is to make in to balance in you this qi that can be aligned with the qi of the universe. They say below and above. You know, in that sense. Yeah, so that's, but people have to remember there are three different type of qigong, you know, as I said, medical, martial art, and spiritual.
Right. Yeah,
And
and it doesn't matter what age you are. We see a lot of older people doing it because it doesn't require your body to be so, Maserati, Kung Fu-y. It's all about that deliberate movement of, as you said, of connection, of being present, being deliberate in your breath, and just being present within self. So it's really good for your spirit, but it's also really, really good for your body as well.
Exactly. Yeah. So people think that this is for old people because it helps with the
Right.
joints and articulation. Well, it's good for everybody because
Right.
it makes you be in the now.
Present,
Even
being present with self.
scientifically, you control your metabolism to the point is fantastic. Okay,
Right.
so it's serious Qigong
Yeah.
business.
And I think it's also very good for people that get very stressed or have a
Yeah.
lot on their plate. to take mm-hmm. some time to do some Qigong, slow down, become present, yeah. take that breath. That is where your clarity comes from. When you slow down and become present, that's when you become clear.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So now Zen, it's misunderstood, and it's okay because, you know, in the West, we transform, deform mm-hmm. things. But Zen, it means actually meditation. It's mm-hmm. a Japanese term. It means meditation. So we know Zen for sitting meditation, but that's called Zazen. And that's only 70% of the practice. You have also walking meditation, you have chanting meditation, you have other things. And that's called Dozen, you know, like Qigong is called in martial art, it's called Dozen. It's meditation in motion. Mm-hmm. Zen means meditation. Do means movement. So movement meditation. Za means sitting. Za Zen, you know. So it's already this kind of thing. So what is Zen? If you ask a Zen master, he's going to say, I don't know. But it's not the same don't know as someone who has never heard the word right. don't know. It's because Zen is a practice
presence?
Of consciousness.
Yeah. Presence?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's a practice of opening your mind to what is right now. Mm-hmm. And that is to see things which is you are not different from the outside. Mm-hmm. You know? So it is a way to understand your mind and a way to go beyond duality, to see the oneness.
To see
where you come from mm-hmm. is to reconnect yeah. with your true self,
right.
basically.
And is it, yeah. you know, both of them are a form of channeling in the divine energies in order to flow through?
We can see it that way. I mean, it depends on how people, what terminology people use. You know, mm-hmm. in Zen, we don't use this terminology. But yeah, you can call it God or whatever. You
God,
know, like
God, universe, spirit, energy, source, whatever it is, right? But downloading it. Yeah. You're connecting with it. Yeah,
exactly. So when we say Zen, it's a practice. To allow you to reconnect with your true self. It's not your true self, Sarah. It's not my true mm-hmm. self. It's the oneness. It's
yes.
the field of consciousness.
Yes.
So we say your true self because...
Universal presence lies within you. So you're plugging in. You're plugging
exactly.
in. Right?
Exactly. You know, exactly.
And I think that people are beginning to understand whichever medium they're taking is that connection with the divine, whatever you want to call it, that connection with that wisdom is the very conscious of you, that we can't live without it. We can't live without that consciousness being that wisdom that guides us forward. Left us humanoids alone, we're like little hamsters on a wheel, constantly going around and around and around, making the same old mistakes over and over again. We need that divine consciousness, that clarity, that understanding, that connection to understand how to use our conscious in a creative and productive way that allows us as human beings to elevate beyond the state that we're in right now.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And the magic, you know, people in a Zen school, people don't like when I say that. But for me, it is. It's magical.
Yes.
Because you realize once you start your practice, there's no time. You can enlighten just like that, or it will take you 20 years. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But the thing is, magic happens, meaning suddenly you realize you don't react anymore to a situation. Nobody can push your buttons anymore because there's no more buttons.
Right. exactly.
I mean? It's like you discover things that you let go of.
You're a deep breath. You're just just a lovely deep breath, right? And it's just another terminology in England would be water off a duck's back.
Right?
Things just don't get to you, right? And it's like there are so many things that are important in life, and that connection is one of them, because that collection of who you are, what your meaningful purpose is, the clarity in what you are meant to do here, because we are all contributors, we are all in service of one another and this planet, right? And what is our service? What is our meaningful purpose? How am I meant to use this? In what way am I meant to use this? And when we discover that and we step into that presence of who we are, why we are to do what we're meant to do, we are in alignment with that beautiful universal energy, and it will always guide us in truth, helping us move forward to do what we are meant to do. And it is such a beautiful connection, because you feel you permanently have a partner with you that knows better than you.
You know, I would just like to end with that one. It's you heard the concept of conscious business now.
Yeah.
You know, we use the word conscious now in everything, but conscious business. And that's so important. I interviewed Steve Farrell from the Humanities team last July, and he wrote a book, a wonderful book. But this is it. Is conscious business, as Michael Beckwith said, conscious business or enterprise or company, whatever you want to call it, it's a mission with a business. It's not a business with a mission.
Right. Yes. Okay?
So
I agree.
That's important, how the new consciousness is affecting society now. It's just starting, you know, business are trying to. So, yeah. So don't try to be in the flaky things like, oh, I'm like, for example, I'm an entrepreneur and I want to fit this new consciousness. I'm going to make a nice statement about a mission to help humanity. This is fake, because this is not from the
authentic. It has to come from the inside out, not
exactly.
Yeah, not it's the latest exactly. fad or the latest. I've actually been using. I had other hosts on when I first started my own channel nearly 11 years ago, and one of them, her channel was called Conscious Business, and and in under my business channel, it's all about conscious business, and the consciousness is how you conduct your business, why you're conducting your business, and whom you're here to serve. It's being aware of how you're doing it, what you're doing it for, and doing it in a way that is respectful and inviting and inspirational to the people you are doing business with. You know, there's somebody I'd love you to interview from Germany. I did a series back, I think, 2017-18 called Let's Get Synced. And it was interviewing people from around the world, mostly in Europe, ambassadors, business people working with different form, but it was the climate change around the way we look at business and the way we look at climate. And there was one guy, it's pure necessity, and I love his terminology. When we invest in people, planet for profit, not profit at the expense of people and planet. And that is, you know, that is putting, when we put things in the right order, we begin to see how things unravel and the possibilities and the opportunities that present. But yet this isn't just the latest fad, like the stupid word woke. Everybody's using this stupid word woke. And it's like, please, you know, like, isn't there another word you can come up with? And it's, people get caught into a word and they capitalize on the word without understanding it. Consciousness isn't something that's out there as your tagline. Consciousness is something you are. You come from your consciousness, and everything you do is from your consciousness, right? Exactly. The consciousness comes first.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Totally. Yeah. No.
Perfect. Perfect. Now, will you tell people what you offer them and how you offer them and where you offer it and all of that?
Okay. Yeah. Well, I am 100. No, I should not say that. I'm 95%. On virtual, on Zoom, because 95% of my clients are international.
Yes.
And so that's why I use Zoom. And so what I do, I help people, whoever, whether you are a beginner in meditation or not, it doesn't matter. But I help people realign Zen in a Zen way, mind, body, through meditation. But not 100% Zen meditation, because Zen is not everybody can do this, but I use the Zen principle to help people reconnect with their true self. But we use meditation like that, sitting meditation with breathing techniques, specific breathing techniques. So we do Zazen, sitting meditation, and moving meditation. Mm-hmm. So I offer it as a way to develop inner peace, and be aligned with your life mission. It's for the people to discover what it is, but at least this alignment for them in their life. So I have different programs. I do it as a coaching, one-on-one or three people max. Mm-hmm. And I offer it as through different programs, you know, like the one is, for example, Zen Cardio, which is actually a movement warm-up, a Zen martial art warm-up. We do, and we add a meditation to it. So it's mm-hmm. like techniques like Qigong also to help. But because the body has to raise its vibration,
yes.
that's the true mind body. It's not yeah. just sitting meditation. The no. body has to raise its vibration. So that's why I call it Zen Cardio. It's also physical, but we always end with sitting meditation and breathing techniques. There's another program that I call it Mio Awakening, is to help people develop a steady and strong meditation practice. And so my program, if people go on my website, they will see the different programs, but it's just a starting point mm-hmm. because depending on what the person needs, that's why I always talk to people first before they sign up mm-hmm. for the program, to see where they are and what they would like to achieve. And then I modify the programs to suit them.
Right.
You know, like for example, I have a couple from Colorado. They are in their 70s. They don't need to move so much in Zen Cardio. Mm-hmm. They don't need to be so, you know. So we do a lot of Qigong movement with the breath, and we do stretching, you know, also in the, so you see, so I adapt according to the client.
Right.
But all my programs are based on the same idea, is to develop the vibration of the body and help people reconnect
to that higher consciousness. So it yeah. the principle is all the same, but you customize it according to your clientele.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. And yeah, also you have a wonderful free gift here for us, a recording program to learn how to develop powerful combinations of sitting and
yeah.
mimic.
Well, actually that's with Humanity's team. Mm-hmm. organization. So to have access to my program, I think you need to register with their platform, and then you have access to my programs and a lot of interesting programs they offer. But what I offer people actually is a free gift. It's if you go on my website, it's called Zen Stones. It's a PDF with pictures from my Zen exhibition. I did a Zen exhibition twice, one in New York and one, because I used to live in New York, and one here in Montreal. So it's pictures of Zen stones and a text, a concept that goes with the stack of stone. So it's basically the 10 basic concepts, fundamental concepts of Myoku and of Zen. So they can have this, they have this document, this nice document. If they go on my website, they see it, they can click on it and get this PDF.
So the name of your website and the spelling of your website, please, love.
Okay, www.myokucenter. So it's myokucenter.com.
So myokucenter.com. And you're also, your email is the same, vivian.mykucenter@gmail.com. On okay. Facebook, it's mykucenter. Instagram, myku. And LinkedIn, also mykucenter. So people can reach yeah. out to you that way as well.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. We're all needing to get into this state, you know, the human condition is constantly being over bombarded with senses, too much sensory coming at us all the time, you know, phone, internet, just life itself, noise, everything. One of the reasons I moved to the island is because I just couldn't deal with the static of my city anymore. I needed calm, and the island has still got a wonderful vibration for now. Hopefully it will stay that way. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, especially as you get older, you realize how much you need that tranquility, because that is where your clarity is. That's where your peace is. That's where your understanding is. And that I don't care how busy you are. You have to take some time in the day just to be, just to center, just to connect, right? To either download or upload, whatever it is, be present. The gift of the present is in the now, right? So, right?
Absolutely.
Be in that moment, find that meditational thing for you of the Qigong that's for you that will help you become present in the now. And then take a few minutes a day, maybe 5 minutes, 2 or 3 times a day, right? That's quick, easy to do that.
Yeah, and people should not give up, even if you don't feel things. It's okay.
Yeah, you're tuning in, right? You're fine tuning.
Exactly, because the 5 minutes you're giving your mind body, this 5 minutes of stillness, you know that you can regenerate your organs and your nervous system. So even if you don't feel anything special, like, oh, I'm wasting my time, 5 minutes of breathing, no.
It's working. 5 minutes. It's working in the background. Yeah.
Exactly.
And the more you do it, the more you'll come to the foreground of it. All right. You will finally go, oh, I'm really getting this. I'm really connecting to this. But, you know, practice makes perfect. Right.
Exactly.
So keep on doing.
Exactly. So if you allow me to read.
Yes, please. Please.
Yeah. Okay. This is from Zen Master Sung San. Whether we perceive our experiences as joyful or painful does not matter. The more we awaken, the less we make distinctions. We gradually stop thinking in terms of opposites, like good and bad, health, illness, and simply are with each moment in a clear and open relationship. Our healing, our growth, come from being open and awake. Our discomfort, our suffering, come from defending and protecting our delusional separate selves. This is the healing process, which is awakening to the original wholeness of life.
Yeah, and that's where we're meant to be, you know. And I think it's so many times in time we have connected with that and we came from that, and then the human experience took over, and the, you know, the, our consciousness seemed to go into the background. And you know, whenever somebody wants to capitalize on something and make it a conditional thing, and you can only get if you worship somebody, then, you know, that means you're not connected to the right one. Whatever you want to call it, God, universe, spirit, energy, source, it doesn't matter. But when you feel connected with it, you don't need to go through anyone else. It's your direct line. It's your direct feeling. It's your direct download. You are it. You are at one with it, whatever you wish to call it. And that is, you know, where many other religions have been, it's conditional. You can't get there unless you go for a priest or pay this or do that. No, it's every human's right to be connected, because you're meant to be plugged in. So plug in and feel that consciousness, because then you, all that understanding of why you're here and what you're here to do, right, will come to you, right? Otherwise, we're flapping in the wind. We're flapping in the wind. So,
yeah, no, exactly. And that's just to finish it, just to say for me that I train people. I say coach in English, but in French, I don't say coach. I train people, because my goal is not to keep people with me forever.
Right.
It's to make them independent and in their leadership.
Yeah. So that's put them on the right track, right?
Exactly.
Yes.
That's all. That's all. Yes. My job is to put you on the right track. I am always there if you need me after the
program. Not to be dependent on you.
Exactly.
Right. To become independent, because now you know how. Now you're connected. Exactly. And that's really what a good teacher is. It shows you how to do it yourself. Right. Exactly. It's not for someone there to be so reliant on them that you can't do it on your own.
No,
that's you know, codependent. You need somebody that says, look, just these skills, these techniques, this how. Yes, you've got it. If you're going to go and learn a dance, if you're going to go and learn anything, right, you need somebody that's going to take you through the steps to get into the momentum, to get into the rhythm, right, to make that connection. And next thing you know, your whole body is going, right? Right? But initially, we're just cardboard going, I don't know what to do, until the music moves. And so that's what a good teacher is to do, is to show you how to connect. And then that connection is yours. And where you take it is where you take it.
Exactly. Yeah. Wonderful.
It's been a delight having you here, Vivian, truly.
Sarah, thank you so much. It's wonderful. Yeah, I should have had my cup of tea. I just had my water.
Definitely. But yeah, no, I mean, I'd love to have you back anytime. I'm going to connect you
Excellent.
To a couple of these people because I think
Oh,
the
great.
connection would should be really great. You know, it is about that beautiful spider's web of connection, isn't it? You know,
Yes,
that,
exactly.
and it's like, you know, I'm always saying that it takes a village to raise a family, to support a family, to support a community. And I think if we could go back to feeling more intimate with the people in our lives instead of needing so many likes and so many big followers, you know, but go more intimate with your connections and your relationships, then you will actually start feeling more fortified and more fed in life, right? Those personal
Absolutely.
vibrational connections.
Absolutely. It's so nice to talk to you, really. You make connection with so much, and this is real. This is true. It's
It's a
wonderful.
nice place to be. It is a nice place to be. And, you know, we just want everyone to get there very quickly because
Yes.
in absolute truth, we need to raise our consciousness. We need to raise our vibration. The only healing that this earth is going to get is from us when we change
Exactly.
from the bombardment of hate, fear, narcissism, loathing, egotistical opulence. When we stop feeding that and we start feeding our consciousness and each other with divine love, with divine spirit, we raise the consciousness of the whole planet and we become part of the healing for the planet because the planet is begging us. She's been there for us from the word go. And she's begging us to be there for her now because we've been rather greedy and we haven't given back. And now we need to give back and we need to give back with our vibrational love. But it's a beautiful state of being to be in and we can all access it.
Absolutely. This is our responsibility.
It is.
Awakening now is our responsibility.
Not tomorrow, today, right now.
Exactly.
As I say, these shows are about listen, learn, and apply. And apply, you reach out to Vivian and you have that conversation with her and how she can help you start that meditate. Maybe you've been meditating and you go, but I meditate, but it doesn't work. Well, perhaps you're not connecting right. And you just need her to kind of fine tune you, turn a few knobs so that you start that connection more deeply. Because once you start that practice and you do it every day and you become a part of it, you're just going to, whew, the amount of opening that's going to open up, the amount of clarity, understanding. And it's not like a firework thing. It's just something like a really deep breath of
exactly. Oh, it's so true. It's so true. Yeah, your gaze changes.
Yes.
You know, there's a story of this monk who was going back home every day. And one day he saw a flower in his garden and he thanked the flower. He said, "Thank you, beautiful flower, for being here for me." But the flower has always been there.
Yes.
He just never saw it.
Exactly.
So at some point, his mind opened and he saw it.
Yeah. And it's like the same thing. You pick the flower, you only enjoy it for a short period of time before it dies. But if you enjoy the flower in the garden, it's there for much, much longer, pleasing you. So not everything has to be picked. Sometimes we can appreciate things where they're at, right?
Yes, absolutely. Oh, that's so nice.
Well, you've got to come back again in the future, most certainly. We've got so much more to talk about. And and I hope we've lifted everybody's spirits up today. And again, folks, you know, go to her site, MYOKU Center. CENTER.com. Reach out to her, and it's also vivian.myokucenter@gmail.com. Facebook, Myoku Center. Instagram, Myoku, and Myoku Center for LinkedIn. Reach out, have that conversation with her. Just you don't know how it's going to affect you until you're willing to try and participate. Please participate in your own life, in your own healing, in your own essence, because you are the light that we need in the world. You are the light that you need in your life. Right?
Oh, it's well said. Oh, Sarah, it was a real pleasure.
My pleasure. And to everyone else out there, please turn up that volume on your light. We need your brightness. So until next time, folks, bye for now. We hope that you enjoyed the show. There are so many more for you here on selfdiscoverywisdom.com. Just go to the podcast tag at the top there and you will see all the many genres and all 3,000 shows ready for your listening. We are here to serve you, to help you on your journey of life, and we know that through inspiration, it begets invitation. We are supported by you, the listeners, and those that we interview. Anything that you can spare us in donation would be greatly accepted, and we do hope that you enjoy the next show.